Hey everyone, thanks for listening to my podcasts here on the Hullerstubber feed. Do spread the word to other people if you think they might enjoy them. Do listen to some more if you think you might enjoy them, but do enjoy this one. I am shortly going to be on tour with my new stand-up show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Head to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all those dates. Some of them are sold out, some of them have hardly sold anything. It would really help me if you bought tickets to the ones that aren't sold out. Either way, as soon as you can. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's about cancer and testicles. One of them's not funny, but one of them's really funny, and it kind of cancels out the unfunniness. I'd say just on average, slightly more funny. So I hope you'll come along. If not, keep enjoying the podcast. We'll be back in September at the Leicester Square Theatre with more live podcasts. Maybe a few Edinburgh ones before then. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this stupid podcast you've chosen to listen to.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Happy Christmas! I'm wearing antlers. You can't see because it's an audio, but I promise you I am, and there's tinsel everywhere. Welcome to, I think this is the final Rahelastapa of 2016. What a year it's been. But there's loads more coming in 2017. We're only about halfway through this 10th series, so there's lots more to come for you. And then we're recording more in June, July, and then the autumn as well. So there's tons more to come and some fantastic guests potentially lined up. This one's got Dawn French on it. I mean, fucking hell, what more do you want? I just want to thank you for all the support this year. If you backed one of the Kickstarters or bought a badge or came to one of the live shows, thanks very much. That is you who's keeping this going. If you like this, every little thing you can do, even if it's just spreading the word about the podcast to other people, is a fantastic help. If you want to buy a badge, either monthly or one-off, go to gofasterstripe.com/badges. All that money we plowed back into making more podcasts. If you want to come and see one of my shows, I'm doing a tour called The Best throughout the spring. Go to richchain.com and either look at the gig guide or click on The Best picture and you should be able to see all the tour dates. If you want to come and see one of the podcasts being recorded, go to theleicestersquaretheatre.com. That's my cat meowing in the background if you can hear that. He's got an odd meow. He's deaf. But look, all I really want to say is thanks very much. It's not the time for promoting. It's the time for goodwill to all men and a good podcast to thank you for all of your support. And it's a really good one. I'm really chuffed to get this guest. And she more than lived up to expectations of both being lovely, naughty and fantastic. It is the absolutely fabulous side. It's the other one. Dawn French. Hope you enjoy it. Bye. Happy New Year as well. Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who is a guilty feminist, sort of. It's Richard Herring! That's what they do. Ladies and gentlemen, hello! Welcome. You're much better than last week's audience. They were a load of pricks. It's Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. But I was hanging out with the Blazing Squad. Remember them? They're always hanging out together. We were at the crossroads. That's where we were. That's where they love it down there. They call it Rahelastapa. So I don't know if that's going to catch on. Thanks very much for coming along. Thank you very much to Thomas Eels. Where are you, Thomas? There you are. Hello. You're not wearing your hat. How's the champagne? This is another of our fantastic VIP guests sitting further back than you. And you did well, didn't you? Still here from last week. That's what I love about you. How's the champagne going down? That's the finest. Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? Did you get who got the most from the back? Is it finished or is there still some more? Oh man. It's all gone, yeah. Good work. So let's see who else we've got here in the audience tonight. Any new people? What's your name, madam?
Tamara.
Tamara?
Sorry, You're eating something, aren't you? It's an inappropriate moment. I want to make sure I get this on video. Hold on. I should have prepared this before. I could have done a joke about tomorrow, but I didn't. I'm bigger than that. So it's... What do you do for a living tomorrow? Well, I can't take the piss out of that. She's absolutely got me. Fuck you. Fuck you with your wonderful job. That's nice. She teaches kids who are excluded from school, so let's give her a round of applause for being very nice. What did this chancer do? Look at him, he's... You don't teach kids who are excluded from school, do you? What's your name?
Oh, Graham.
Graham. Are you with Tamara?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, done well as well. What's your job? Is it, do you kill puppies? Stamp puppies there, but it's all right, because my girlfriend, wife, partner, friend. You manage a restaurant. Which restaurant is it? Do you want to give it a plug?
The Beach House.
In Beckensfield. When next time, if I come in, can I have a free... What kind of food do you do? You seem not sure of what you do. That took you a while to... Is it just basic slop? I'm kind of trying to discuss. It's just in a big pan. We do Mediterranean food in Beckensfield. Not going to go there, am I? It's not worth... You're not even going to give me a free meal. What's your favourite dish of food you've ever cooked? Guys, really thinking about it. A duck. I've got Dawn French backstage. I'm talking, wasting my time. Talking to you. So let's crack straight on. Are we going to welcome someone she's probably best known as Pong Whiffy from Pong Whiffy. She was also Mrs. Beaver in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. I think that might be the porn version. And of course the baker's wife in The Adventures of Pinocchio is Dawn French, ladies and gentlemen. Dawn French.
Hello.
Yeah. I've never seen them like before. Hooray! It's fucking Dawn French. Can't believe it. I've been trying to get you. Can't believe it.
Feet don't touch the ground. God.
It's not
short legs, Miss Piggy.
Nearly
terrible.
All my guests are way taller than me, so it's great to have you on.
You need to go to Specsavers. I'm very tall.
Yeah.
And willowy.
Do you remember much about Pong Whiffy?
Pong Whiffy, I do. It's a witch, isn't it? I know that. Is it an animation?
I only look up the IMDb, and that's as far as I go with the research.
Yeah,
for that.
I think it was animation.
Yeah,
I think
it was an animation.
It was a while back.
And Mrs. Beaver?
Mrs. Beaver, I gave my beaver, yes, to Ray Winston's Mr. Beaver.
Oh, that's nice, of course.
Yeah, it was good, yeah.
Yeah, that's not too bad, is it?
Yeah, and we showed it to Prince Charles.
Oh.
Showed my beaver to Prince Charles. It was because that had a royal opening.
Yeah.
not even going there.
Bringing
not
the tone
there.
Down of this
not
show.
Not coming down that lane with you.
What about the... I don't remember The Adventures of Pinocchio.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was the baker's wife in that. It was quite low cut. It was all a bit, about... Yeah.
Let's get it out.
Yes, I went to Czechoslovakia to Prague to film it.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was good. Loads of cake involved and a small puppet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Martin Landau was in it. From Space 1999.
Yeah. Who also dated Marilyn Monroe.
Did he?
He did, yeah. But he would come to work and take off that wig and put on that wig. Like that, put one down, get another one on.
It's good. We learned all about
it. Probably ruined it for Martin Landau. Now, all you hairy Landau lovers.
Martin Landau's still going, isn't he?
Hope so.
I think so.
Isn't
I think he?
He
is.
Yeah.
It's like Windsor Davis. You can't tell. Yeah. You don't know.
Yeah.
Surprising to find. It's like when I found out Dario Fo had died. I thought, Dario Fo was still alive.
Dario Fo, the playwright.
Yeah, he died recently, but I sort of assumed he'd been dead for about 50 years.
Did you?
It was like,
speaks very highly of you.
Jimmy Perry, like him. So yeah.
This has been a sad year. Don't start because it's just too sad.
It is.
There's just too many gone.
My cat died last week as well.
My dog died. Trump you.
Okay.
Sorry, dog trumps cat every time.
I had to watch my cat die. I had to watch it happen.
Did you?
Yeah. They forced me to watch it. There's nothing wrong with it. did my Easter shit.
Did you put it in a liquidizer?
I didn't. No, I've never seen anything die in front of my eyes before.
Haven't you?
No.
What age of a man are
you? I'm 49 years old. I see my first dead body this year of like a human being. That wasn't the cat. And and my cat died and they injected it. Sorry, my wife is in the audience. She'll be really upset that I brought this up. We're heartbroken. So let's talk about... little Lino.
Comedy helps you to get through it though, doesn't it? Did you go on stage the same night like Joan Rivers?
I couldn't go on because I hadn't booked.
You're too sad.
Hadn't booked anything in, so it would have been inappropriate.
If you could bring up a furball tonight in honour of your cat, I would admire you forever.
But it's like when people's pets die and they go on Facebook and talk all about it. Yeah. I can't, it's pathetic, but I do sort of understand it as well.
Yeah.
Look at me talking about it.
Did you do that?
I did write a long blog about it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tart.
I cashed in. Yeah. For no money. Let's start talking about you. Well, I'm very excited. We've met before, but quite a long time ago. And I was quite rude to you one time. I would like to apologise for that. Yeah, I was overawed at meeting you, as I am now. Yeah. So I'll be rude again.
Don't be.
And you were very, very nice. And you shouted, "Oh, it's Richard Herring from Cheddar." It was like in 1995 or something. And then
was it at a party?
It was at a party, or maybe I think we were doing a charity gig together.
Oh, okay,
we're good people. Yeah. And then I said to you, "It's nice to meet you, but you are the enemy," I think is what I said to you.
What did you mean by
that?
Well,
I think because I was trying to be cool. No, there's that. I think it's just as a younger generation, it's like the next generation of comedians back, which is ridiculous because I was just an obsessive fan of everything you did.
Yeah.
And so I was.
Trying to say is, why don't you die and make legal. Room? For the Let likes of me.
So I'd like to apologise for that thing
I don't
that you
remember
don't remember.
Until now I'm I've fucking furious.
But I was a massive fan. That whole generation of the kind of 80s comedy, the comic strip and the stuff you were doing at the Comedy Store, and was the young ones was which you were in.
I was in briefly. Yeah. I was an Easter Bunny.
You were?
And I was a person who got squashed by a sandwich somewhere. So I think she wasn't from the Sally Army. Who are the people that
come
around?
I think it was
Jehovah's
Witness. Weirdly.
That's it,
Last week, Deborah was a Jehovah's Witness. So that's another coincidence. But you were, and I was thinking about it. I think arguably you and Jennifer, who were both in The Young Ones, are the most successful people from The Young Ones.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think you've had the most long-lasting career of anyone in the... Who was in that show?
Well, I don't even think to measure it like that. I always think of Rick as the kind of shiniest star, if you know what I mean. And not star, like, old-fashioned version of star, but like a shiny person from those days. And Aid, actually. And Lexi.
But I'm not knocking any of these.
But
people.
They're not just not as great as
I
girls
I just think
are.
You and Jennifer have done, you've had like a constant... Career,
we just refuse to go away. That's the thing.
You've worked for the entire 30 years.
Yeah, that's true.
And
in fact,
they're still at the top of your game.
Well, are we? doors close quite a lot these days when it comes to telly and stuff. I have ideas where I think, that's a brilliant idea. Of course we have to do that. Oh, you don't want it. Oh, all right. I feel quite disappointed about that. But then there's a sort of halcyon time, isn't there, when you're a bit younger, where doors are open and it's up to you to choose which one you take.
Yeah.
But and then you get a bit older and people go, sorry, I don't think that. I think we've done that before. Somebody else more attractive is doing that.
I can't believe that's true.
Well, sometimes that does happen. Yeah. It does happen. But that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I think it's quite sort of sobering and probably the ideas aren't as good.
Maybe, but you keep...
Some are.
Well, I think you've done really... You've always been included in the next generation. You were in Psychoville, Little Britain.
Yeah.
And so you've always been a presence around, which
true.
I think sometimes
That's
people
true.
Can be like a big... I think Rick, in a way, was a massive star because he was so huge. It was very hard for him to ever live up to that beginning.
He was like... He was the shiniest person in the room, if you were in the room with him. That's what it was like to be around Rick. He was very funny and loud and entertaining and very loving and all of that. So that it's a massive loss.
Yeah.
A massive loss.
Sorry to bring it down. As bad as...
Sorry, it's not, obviously not as much as your cat.
No,
not as bad as the cat.
But and then the comic strip as well, which was the first day of Channel 4 started. Yeah. So I was a very excited, whatever, however old I was then.
Yeah,
quite
tiny.
Old. The Five went, Five Go Mad in Dorset.
Yeah, that's right.
But
that
the comic strip and I did a huge amount of stuff on TV.
But you see, nobody, well, I suppose Pete probably had intention with all of it. But the rest of us, it was a sort of happy accident, really.
Yeah.
We, you know, Jennifer and I never intended to be doing any of that. It was just luck that we turned up at the right time. They definitely needed women at the comic strip.
Yeah.
They were desperate, in fact, for women to come along because it was so un-PC not to have women on the bill.
Yeah.
And there were no other women doing anything much.
Yeah.
There was the odd performance artist, but there wasn't really... there weren't many other stand-ups at the time. Pauline Melville,
yeah,
a little bit. So they were, actually, we could have done anything. But we had bosoms, and so we were in. You know, it was as simple as that.
But you auditioned for that when you met Jennifer?
Well, we auditioned, but literally, as we opened our mouths, that was it. We were in. We were in. It didn't matter what we did at all. And in fact, what we did was pretty bad for the first year or so.
But then you're the best ones out of it, so there,
well,
there
thanks,
you go.
Thanks. Maybe we just learn slowly. We're like bottom feeders. You know, they go slowly and pick it up as you go along.
It's a strange thing, though, is that you met at drama school.
We did.
And you didn't like each other that much to begin with, but then...
We did, but we were both training to be teachers.
Yeah.
But Jennifer, again, was there by accident.
Yeah.
She thought going to drama school meant you got tickets for the theatre. That's what she was doing on the course. I was absolutely... I'd had such a huge crush on my drama teacher at school. I just wanted to be her. So I wanted to go to the same school she went to and do her job.
Right.
And, you know, in a slightly sinister, stalkery way. And so I did that. I just applied for exactly the same drama school she went to for the teaching course.
Yeah.
And Jennifer happened to be on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you both had a kind of RAF family background.
We did, yeah. She's from the posh end of RAF, and I'm from the oik end of RAF. But nevertheless, you know, we're together on that, definitely. And we have employed people purely because they've been part of the RAF.
Right.
I know, it's a ferocious, ridiculous, pointless loyalty.
It's worse than the Oxbridge Mafia, the RAF
Mafia. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Well, the Oxbridge lot were the others.
Yeah.
They were the others. I mean, our lot, some of them went to Manchester.
Yeah.
But no, there was no Oxbridge lot amongst us.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing
so
against them. You understand?
No, they're wonderful.
I've learned to love them with time.
But you, so you had a choice basically to carry on being a teacher or go to Australia with the comic strip.
Yeah, yeah, I did. And in fact, I have to remember a fantastic headmistress. I was a teacher at a sub teacher at Parliament Hill School for Girls, and the head teacher, who was the head of the drama department, wanted to leave, and so in fact I had an amazing opportunity to suddenly become the head of the department after my first probationary year as a teacher.
Right.
So this was like fantastic chance, but I was moonlighting and working at the comic strip at night. So I was teaching during the day. Jennifer quite often would come to the school and we'd quickly run through something because, listen, we were this thick. We thought we had to change the material every night. We didn't notice that it was actually the audience that changed every night. That's how pathetically sad we were. So we were coming up with new and very bad sketches every day, whatever we could think of in the 5 minutes at the end of school time, down in the drama studio. And then we get in my little Ford Cortina and drive into Soho and just, you know, just stone's throw from here and get on stage at the Raymond's Review Bar there.
Yeah.
But I hadn't told anyone at the school that I was moonlighting at night, obviously. And eventually we got the chance to go on tour to Australia as a group of us.
Yeah.
And so I had to make a big decision then. But I had kids that were about to take exams and I felt massively loyal to them. Anyway, I went to see the headmistress and I kind of fessed up that I'd been working at night time and that I had this chance. And she made the decision for me.
Really?
She, who needed me to stay because she was just about to lose the head of her drama department, just said, this would not be right if you were prevented from doing it and you've got a job here if you want it when you come back. So thank God for that woman, that she was so selfless and, you know, helped me to decide.
It is amazing how, like, little, you know, moments like that can alter an entire...
Yeah, because actually, if she had said, don't you think that you owe it to these kids that you've been working with for the last year, of course I would have stayed there. Of course I would have.
Yeah.
No, that, I mean, I suppose missing out on that tour might not have meant that I would have missed out on everything else afterwards, but it would have been a significant part.
How do you think you would have, if you'd been a teacher your whole life, do you think you'd have enjoyed that life?
Yes, actually, I do. I loved it. I love teaching, and I'd like to do it again, although I'm so out of the loop of it now. But I'd like to do it mainly sitting down with well-behaved people.
Do you think it would be difficult going back to schools and everyone going, why are you here?
Yeah, you're what are you doing here?
You're the Vicar of Dibley. What are you doing trying to teach me about drama?
What I'd really like to do, I'd really, really love to do, and I used to do it when my kid was little, is I'd like to go and sit and help little kids to do reading.
Yeah.
I'd love that. Because they sort of trust you, don't they?
Yeah.
Foolishly. For instance, they think you know how to read. And I can't do joined up, but I can do capitals. Yeah.
And I really like, I was reading your book, Dear Fatty, on holiday a few years ago.
God,
when
you
it
poor
came out.
Thing, you've had to do so much research.
No,
sorry.
I did this in my own.
Oh, that was voluntary.
Well, I read it on holiday and I found it just, it's so honest and you're a very forgiving person, I think. And I felt like it was amazing, but I had just before read Peter Kay's autobiography.
Oh, right.
So I think it might have been a little bit just who is not someone who is
just
forgiving.
The difference.
Or, very forgiving, or thinks that anyone other than him is amazing. So it might just have been that. But it's a bit, it's obviously what you're doing partly with your new show, the 30 Million Minutes.
Yes.
Show is it's a very
I've
honest.
I've got to stop talking about myself eventually.
No.
We just filmed that show the other week,
and
so that's kind of the end of that now. I mean, I wrote it when I was 56. I'm 59 now, but I wrote it when I was 56. That was 30 million minutes, and after that, it's been just a complete lie. I could be asked to change the poster, to be honest. And I loved all the noughts, but it's more minutes than that now. But we toured that show in this country, and we toured it in Australia and New Zealand. But I got a kind of weird vertigo while I was doing the show. It's bloody weird. I don't know if anyone's ever had vertigo or kind of labyrinthitis or something, but it's a very bizarre thing that kind of. Well, literally tips your world upside down. Literally, you feel like you are swimming. It's very odd. And that started to happen to me when I was doing the show.
Yeah.
Partly because there was a screen behind me and it was lit from the sides. And so, you know, looking at darkness on a raked stage and lit from the side, kind of retina singeing lights on the side, and it just sent my head into a complete spin.
Yeah.
So I spent most of the tour really not knowing what way was up or down and trying to stand up. And I just, I mean, you know, I know I'm not tall. You've rubbed it in, but I know I'm not. And I'd spend most of the show like this, legs are wide, like, trying to stay upright like that. So I didn't want to film it whilst I felt so rubbish. No. So I waited until that went, and we filmed it last week.
Right.
Why am I telling you that? Oh, because quite a lot of what I've been doing is just my own story, if you like. And I use my own story to try and, you know, try and connect with people, because I'm pretty sure my story isn't that remarkable. It's just, it's everybody else's story too, one way or the other.
Yeah.
You don't get to be 59 without some shit hitting the fan, do you? And the same thing was true in that autobiography, although I feel like that's quite out of date now, in a funny way, because it finishes, obviously.
Yeah.
6-7 years ago.
Of course, yeah.
So, and lots has happened to me in that time.
Yeah, but I think that's, I think, well, that's what kind of good comedy's about, is about honesty, I think, really.
Yeah.
And cocks.
And cocks, yeah.
And poo.
Yeah.
But if you're longer, you can sort of mix those together.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, obviously, if you've got your own references of a hilarious cock, you should use it as often as you can. You're known as a hilarious cock.
I am. That's,
yeah.
That's all I can do.
With all my friends, anyway.
Kirsty Young made you cry in Desert Islandists, so I'm gonna.
Yes.
I'm gonna try and do that.
Oh God, it was difficult. That was so difficult.
Yeah. But again,
do you know what I forgot? And again, you know, really, I can have very senior moments sometimes. I didn't realise they would play the music.
Yeah.
On Desert Island Discs. You know, I mean, you know, I thought perhaps they might edit it in afterwards or whatever, but the music is so evocative, of course. So if you're saying this reminds me of my mum, who died recently, Trump's your cat. I'm an orphan, Trump's your cat. you know, and then I played the music that reminds me of my mum. That was it. I was done. I was, you know, finished. No, it's quite embarrassing. And you've got Kirsty looking at you from across the table saying, compose yourself whenever you're ready.
She loves it. That's all she's doing is trying to make people. She's always doing it.
She's evil.
No, she's not evil. She's kind and understanding, and that makes it even worse. And you're just dripping snot and sort of feeling sorry for yourself. It's pathetic.
And so in that show, you talk about, I think you talk about when you met the Queen Mother when you were a little girl.
Yeah. How weird is that that happened? I think it's because my dad was a sergeant and we were at Leconfield Air Base. That's where we were based. And the Queen Mother was coming to visit. And if you have any royal visit to a military base, they go and visit the officers and they go to the officers' mess and they, you know, hang around with the posh people at the other end. You've got the houses with gardens all way round. And I think they wanted an oik, a reliable oik family that she could come and see. And we were chosen as that. I suppose we were the, you know, son, daughter, the proper nuclear family, but nice and safe. And she came. She arrived in a big black car, which I found very upsetting because I thought surely. I mean, I was only four, and I thought surely she would be in a gold carriage. Surely, and surely unicorns would be pulling the carriage. So already very disappointed. And then she got out of the car and had no crown on. What is the point? What is the point of a queen without any of those things? All the ingredients were gone. And then she barreled up the garden path towards us, and we had been practicing curtsying for 3 weeks. By then, my brother brought shame on the family. He'd forgotten to wash the back of his neck, which he hadn't washed since he was born, I don't think. And was doing very deep bowing and revealed the very dirty bit. But anyway, we had brand new shoes, lovely Clark's red shoes, I remember that. Did the curtsying, and then she smiled at us, and she had black teeth. The Queen Mother had black teeth. Why? Why can't they afford dentists or what? I know this sounds weird. I think they were wooden.
Yeah. The human costumes they wore back then weren't as good as the ones they have.
Would they have been wooden? Is there anyone here who knows about teeth? How long ago do people abandon wooden teeth?
Well, I think did Abraham Lincoln or George Washington have wooden teeth? It was one of the American.
Well, Elizabethans had them, yeah, but she was, you know, she was after that.
If they were wooden, though, she could have made them white, though, couldn't she?
She could have. I don't think she'd have bothered. She just varnished them. Yeah. But anyway, she had black teeth, and it terrified me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're just under 4 years old, black teeth equals witch, and that's what I thought. I thought, a witch is coming in our house, and nobody's doing anything about this. Get her out. So I decided not to look at her so that I would not be poisoned by the, you know, a witch looking at you directly in the eye. And I clung to my dad's leg like a sort of Randy Terrier and didn't leave my dad's leg. He just had to walk around with me attached to his leg for the whole of the rest of her visit. Unbelievable. But what was amazing was when I came to tell this this story in my show, we found some footage that the, you know, if you've been in the RAF, there is there's your military record.
Yeah.
But there was like pathé news, like the station cinematographer must have taken this. I mean, you would, wouldn't you? Yeah. Royals coming to visit. So they had moving footage of this weird moment where the Queen Mother came into our house, and there's my dad, there's my mum, and there's me at 3 years and 9 months, and my brother in his dirty neck, and the Queen with her black teeth. And it's very odd to see, you know, especially when your parents aren't around anymore. It's weird to see everybody alive and vibrant and young, young, attractive people. Yeah. Your parents. It's weird, isn't it?
It is weird.
Yeah.
I wanted to say about the comic strip that there's something I still say all the time from the comic strip that's a quote from you. I don't know if you remember this. Not when I'm having sex.
Don't be so licky.
Not when I'm having sex, but you. I can't even remember which one it's in, but there's a bit where you went, do it that way when you're having sex with someone. I say that all the time. Do it that way. Do you remember the one I mean? Do you remember that one?
Are you feeling uncomfortable? I am.
Do people come up to you in the street and say that to you? I'm going to do
it. No one says that.
Yeah, do it that way.
I did say, "Oh, Timmy, you're so licky." I did say that.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Well, I knew, but I loved that.
Why don't you try that instead?
No, that seems inappropriate. There was a great bit in, I think it was the second Five Go Mad, where there was a lady on the beach who had a kind of string vest on.
That was my favourite. Oh, she was a gorgeous, like a model.
Yeah.
Yes, the boys were very excited about her. Yeah. I'm sorry, I can't remember her name. I honestly can't remember anything.
I was saying to you
back there that I did no drugs whatsoever, which I regret massively now. I am intending to do loads of drugs when I'm much older. Because I think it'd be cheaper, wouldn't it, for a start? You know, like a feeble old body and a bit of crack cocaine go together really quite well, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Though isn't being old just mainly about sitting around staring at stuff anyway? So that's most of what being on drugs is like.
Well, you know, with some hot drugs coursing through your veins, I should think it would add to it, add to the fun of being old.
You live in Cornwall, there must be magic mushrooms all over the place.
There are, but I've never looked for them. Have you?
I did once take magic mushrooms.
Did you?
Yeah.
And?
At Glastonbury. I think I've told the story before, but it made my heart... I was listening to African music and my heart suddenly started beating in a really weird way and I thought I was dying.
Yeah.
Because I'd never take drugs either, and apart from this occasion.
Yeah.
I'd had a couple of them. They're all right. They make you feel a bit like buzzy and it's fine. So I ate loads of magic mushrooms.
Did you?
Yeah, because I thought they were... Yeah, then, oh, I see they're a bit... You
this
know,
is nothing, you thought. There's
not. And then, like, suddenly this African drums came in and I thought my heart was going to explode. So I had to be taken away to a safe zone. But I remember sort of sitting in a fit... It was sort of twilight and there was a man... I thought the devil was masturbating with a piece of meat.
Yeah. No, that actually was happening.
It could have been that.
That was happening.
But there was a great bit when I was just...
I hate it when that happens, don't you?
I was lying down looking at the sky, and it felt like the sky was the sea, and I was flying above the... And like miles away. It was,
there
that was
magic
great.
Magic mushrooms sound good.
Yeah, give it a go.
I'm up for that. Yeah, where'd you find those?
A man gave it to me. No, I bought a bag of them off someone.
Did you?
Yeah, at Glastonbury.
You twit.
They're just growing in the ground for free. The danger with magic mushrooms, if you pick them yourself, is that they might be different kind of mushrooms or toadstools, and then you die.
Yeah, so poisonous.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay,
so be careful. Make sure you
We're
buy
not
your
advocating ma- that.
I'm advocating if you take magic mushrooms, buy them from a reputable dealer.
Someone that says magic mushrooms.
Definitely magic mushrooms. You shouldn't take drugs. It's a bad
one. No.
So I was in a double act and you were in a double act.
Yeah.
What's it like being in a double act where you actually like the other person?
Well, I love my girl. Yeah. I absolutely love her and I miss her. I miss doing that bit, but in a way, really, we only did that as an extension of play.
Yeah.
Now we just get to play with, you know, but on our own in a room with other, you know, with our kids and her grandkids. She's got three grandkids.
Right.
I was with her grandchild today, in fact, because her eldest daughter is my goddaughter and she's just had a little baby girl. So I went round to have a little bite of her. I'm slightly jealous about the grandchildren.
Yeah.
So, but I think if I'm a godmother, surely then I'm a god-grandmother.
Yeah, I think that works.
I think that's allowed,
That
you occasionally allowed to go around and sniff someone else's grandchildren. And I suppose you shouldn't really, should you, force your own children to have babies? That's wrong, isn't it? I know it's wrong, but I can't help doing it. And none of them are in the relationships that are right to have babies yet, but I don't really care about that. I just want the babies.
Well, I sort of think I have a baby now. It took me a long time to have a baby.
Yeah.
And I sort of do feel people should just do it now because it's amazing.
Yeah, it is. How big is your baby?
She's like 21 months.
Is she? Yeah. God, that's really tiny.
Yeah. So it's great.
Bugger.
And, you know, you should just do it with whoever.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Great.
I'm going
home with that advice.
Yeah, might as well. So go and take that to your own and get some grandchildren.
Why was I telling you that? because of Jennifer, that's all, yeah. Yeah, no, we were friends first.
I know,
that
but
helps.
A lot of double acts, I mean, this happens a lot, that a double
Isn't
act
it
people,
just men that fall
that's
out?
What
is it,
that's
probably?
What
I don't
wanted
know.
To ask, whether you think it is a male... Because are you competitive with each other when you're doing solo stuff?
I suppose I was a bit surprised that how much success she had on her own.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a cocktail of strange emotions.
It's weird when you're the really funny one and the other one goes on to be more successful. That is the kind of straight... The straight one goes on to... That doesn't make sense.
Oh, you
to
see,
me.
I'm wondering which one you're talking about now. I do remember when she won a big award, I think, for Ab Fab, I think the first series or something. And I thought, you know, I better be generous about this. And I sent her some flowers. And forgive my language, but this is... I did send her flowers that just said... Very, very happy for you. Congratulations, you cunt. And she got it. She got it, yeah. And that's what it is. It's like, you know, I suppose she's like a sort of sister. I've never had a sister, but she's like a sister where you're delighted and a little bit jealous, but good jealous. And but I have that. I have those kind of that kind of envy that is also pride and delight at the same time. In lots of other female comics, I had it with Morwenna Banks. She came up with an amazing character that was a funny little girl. Do you remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Character she played. And I thought, I should have done that. How did you do that? That's a great idea. And I had it about Victoria Wood and people where you think, ah, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
Yeah.
And you have a little moment of it, don't you? But then, if you're female,
then it goes
you get
on for
it.
20 years.
No. Then you let it go and you get over it. And you go.
But that's what I think in that generosity. There's a real generosity in your book about other people. And, you know, it's...
Well, why wouldn't you be, though? I don't understand that. No, it's so unpleasant to live in a kind of unkind, mean-spirited place. Most people are very kind to me.
Yeah.
I can't understand why you wouldn't be that back. And actually, when I've felt unkind things about some people in my life, normally... Killing with massive kindness just helps me to be left in a much better place. That's what I feel. So it's selfish in a way. Could you come out of it thinking, yeah, I was kind to you. Cunt. let's just say cunt to not. Cunty, cunt, 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 cunt. Anyway.
But did Absolutely Fabulous start as a French and sort of sketch to begin with?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, yeah.
So that must have made you furious.
No! What you forget is that I am on the credits. Mm. So I'm not furious. I just built a new conservatory. The Absolutely Fabulous Conservatory. Didn't have to do anything with it. It's old rope. She did all the work, and I, you know, just
that's true.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, and she's kind again about that, you know, because really, ultimately, we wrote a sketch, and it was a very. I think it was the longest sketch we'd ever done. It was something like 23 minutes,
right?
The sketch, which was, you know, unusual.
Yeah.
But in those days, we had control over things like that in our show. We used to edit stuff, so if we wanted something very fast, we'd do it. If we wanted something long. We do it.
Yeah.
And sometimes unwisely. We used to fight for things to be long and say, yeah, but we weren't looking for laughs in this. It's not that kind of sketch. It's the kind of sketch people need to think about, which is just total tosses, you know. But at the time, we would fight, you know, tooth and nail to keep something unfunny in if we thought it was mattered. But anyway, that's that sketch. Jennifer was particularly great in that sketch. And I played her daughter. I never was going to be able to... be Safi when it came to it, you know, because I don't think I can be Jennifer's daughter, to be honest. Although, isn't it weird that if you tell people things, like, for instance, in Vicar of Dibley, it's just reminded me, the man who played Gary Waldhorn, who plays David Horton, right, and then James Fleet is his son.
Yeah.
James Fleet, I think, I don't know, I'm sorry, James, if I get this wrong, is something like 4 years younger than Gary Waldhorn.
Yeah.
But if you say, this is the father, this is the son, everybody goes, okay. I just believe you.
It's the magic of show business.
Yeah, I know, it's bonkers. Mad that. So I might have been able to play her daughter, even though I'm a year older than her. But I think it was better to have Julia do it.
Yes, I think so. And when you, when you went to do this stand-up show on your own, had you ever done anything on stage on your own before?
I did a play. I did a play called My Brilliant Divorce. But, you know, that was something written by somebody else, and, you know, I had to play lots of different characters in it. And it was very much a play. Whereas this, not really stand-up, to be honest. I haven't got stand-up music in me, weirdly. I can't do stand-up. I mean, I can play a character who's a stand-up, if you like. And I've done that before. I've written a character that's a stand-up. But I don't. I've never really done stand-up.
I think if you're standing on stage, it doesn't have to be gags to be stand-up. If you're doing a theatrical show, but it's a one-person show, and it's a even if it's a lots of serious bits.
But there is a kind of gagometer, isn't there? Or there's a music that goes with stand-up that goes something like this in my head. This is how it goes.
Not at my gigs. But it's, I had this. Well, I had a similar thing in that I really believed I could only do stuff with other people, and then I sort of had to force myself to perform solo. So I just wondered, was it a conscious decision to do that? Was it a difficult shift to make that, or was it?
No, I knew I wanted to tell this story. I knew it was my story. I knew I'd have to be up there on my own. I did want to see if I could hold an audience for, a couple of hours in the end.
Yeah.
But I knew it would have to have. For me, anyway, it would have to have a kind of narrative drive in it, and it would have to have funny stories to make the other stories palatable, if you know what I mean. Because I talk in that show a bit about, my dad committed suicide and stuff, so I talk a bit about that. And I guess if I'm going to take an audience to a genuine, difficult, painful place like that, it's my job to cheer everybody up afterwards. But weird things happened with this show, which was... things like I decided to talk, in the first act of this show, I kind of introduced everyone to my family, various people in my family, who I'm then going to knock off in the second part of the show, because, they're dead now. Trump's your cat. orphan. Just because we'll keep coming back to that, just go for the sympathy. But anyway, I know that's what's going to happen, and all that. I don't want to be manipulative about it, but I need to kind of prepare people for it a bit. And I realised that I did this difficult stuff about my dad, and then I told stories about my mum. Now, instead of... I cherry-picked stories, obviously, otherwise we'd be there all night. Certain stories about madness of my mum, kind of crazy side of her, so that we can all have a laugh to get over what we've just had to sit through, if you like. But then I realised one day I was in the car, and this was several weeks in, so I can't pretend that I was clever enough to thread this in correctly in some clever way. But I just thought, God, that's what happened in life. My mum cheered us up.
Right.
My mum picked us up after this awful tragedy.
Yeah.
And now she's doing it again in this show. But, it's not entirely rounded picture of my mum, but it serves the right purpose. And I just thought, I like that resonance. I like that. That feels authentic. That's right. Yeah.
Have you seen David Baddiel's show?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Weirdly, he was at the Vaudeville the week before I went in this last week. We've just done it a week ago so that we could film it.
Yeah.
And because we couldn't film it before because of the weird vertigo wobblies that were going on. And I went to see his show and I thought, isn't this interesting? People of a certain age, he's younger than me, but people of a certain age are feeling interested in talking about their actual lives now. Instead of lives as jokes, it's lives as lives with real stuff in.
Yeah.
But good and very genuinely touching show that he did.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds similar, in that it's, his is very, brutally honest in places.
It is, yes.
But then very funny as well.
Absolutely, But he is a stand-up, you see. So when it comes to the jokes in his show, it's got that music bit. Whereas mine is just, I think it's storytelling. That's what I think it is, Which, and is there a difference in stand-up?
I don't know. I mean, they're all different types of stand-up. And like when you started in stand-up, there were literally so many different.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Types of stand-up, but I think maybe stand-up has kind of homogenized into being two or three different things now.
Yeah.
But like in the 80s, I mean, I sort of caught the tail end of some of those acts who who were smashing records or melting ice as their act, and like bona fide crazy people who managed to make £100 at night and to live off of that.
Yeah,
and it was a very
and you could do two gigs a night. You could do three.
Yeah.
And you could do that seven nights a week.
Yes.
And you know what was very weird was that when we were at the comic strip doing live comic strip, at one point we did do seven nights a week. And Jennifer and I earned a fiver a night.
Right.
Right, a fiver each a night. So French and Saunders cost £10 a night, right? We after about 6 weeks, there was a bit of a meeting. Bit of a democratic meeting where we all sat down to discuss something. I think someone from Channel 4 wanted to film some of it or something.
Yeah.
And we discovered the boys were on hundreds and hundreds of pounds. And it was Rick, actually, who stepped up and said, I think it's time the girls earn the same as us.
Yeah.
We were like, what? What? But that was, you know, it was 6 months in.
Yeah.
Maybe they thought we wouldn't last. I don't know. But we didn't know. We just thought, hey, £5, that's great. Seven times five, that's £22.
Well, it's kind of interesting that it was also right on, and that was let go for a while before someone went, oh, maybe we should maybe give them £10
each. Dreadful, really. I mean, and they were very apologetic when they found out, bought us lots of beers. That's not the money, though, is it?
No.
No.
I'll ask you some emergency questions because I could just...
Oh, yeah. Emergency questions.
They're emergency questions. This is an emergency.
What is the emergency? Well, what do you fear, Richard?
It's usually my own running out of something to say or becoming too big a fanboy.
I was hoping you might lick me up the legs by the end of the evening. in a nice way, in a respectful way. Like you do for your elders, you know.
My wife's almost...
Well, I did on the Duke of Edinburgh's award scheme.
All right. I want to ask you this one, because they'll be interested. Have you seen the film The Human Centipede?
No.
Do you know what it's about?
No.
No.
I'm afraid. Tell me what it's about.
Well, the question is, if you had to do a human centipede with two other people, you're in the middle... Which two people? You can choose the people. Which two people and at which end would they go? So the human centipede...
It sounds unsavoury.
It is very unsavoury. It's more unsavoury than anything you can imagine.
Is it?
It's a film...
Not than anything I can imagine, Richard.
Well,
you don't know what I can imagine.
I think this is about as bad as it gets. It's a film in which a man kidnaps some people and without their consent. It's really wrong. If you want to do this, please ask for consent.
Yeah.
He sews the anus of one of the person to the mouth to the anus. So the person in the front's on all fours, and then the next person behind has their mouth sewed to the anus of that person,
right.
And then the next person has the same.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah. But it's going to happen to you, Dawn, and you're in the middle.
It's never happened to me.
But it's going to in this question.
I would choose. Do you want to know who I would choose?
Yeah, someone to eat the shit of and someone to shit into the mouth of. You'd be shitting the shit of the person you've eaten the shit of as well as your own shit.
Now you've said that, I can't think of anyone. Before that, I could think of some lovely safe people.
Okay.
Like Wayne Sleep and Rylan. Those are the people I would choose to have front and back.
It's got such big teeth, but though. Would you want Rylan at the back?
I wouldn't be sewn to them.
Okay.
And I wouldn't be interacting with their feces in any way.
What's wrong with you? That's a big pun.
What's happened? What happened in your childhood, Richard? You've got a lovely wife and a baby.
I didn't write the human centipede.
Do you talk to your baby with that filthy potty mouth?
She likes it.
Yeah.
My daughter's just started to find farts funny.
Yeah.
But the problem is they're my farts.
Yeah.
And so like every morning I go in, it's early in the morning and I fart and she laughs.
Yeah.
And she's got this game where she can get this dog around in outer space. It's like an astro dog. And it gets to a planet that farts. And when it gets to that, she goes, dada. When it goes, dada.
So you've come to symbolise just a huge fart to her.
She doesn't really like me very much.
And that's charming for how long, do you think? Just for some babiness and not much further than that.
I've got some great questions here.
Yes.
But I'm
make them not as disgusting as the last one.
I'm trying to look for one that isn't disgusting.
Yeah.
If you... I'm not even started reading this one. Let's see where it goes. If you had to drink the entire contents of a well-stocked sperm bank... Oh, it turned out to be disgusting. Or be placed in a coma for 10 years where everyone thinks you're not conscious but you actually hear and feel everything. Which option would you take those two?
It's an early taxi. Early one. Yeah, I think I'd rather be unconscious.
Would
thanks.
You?
Yeah.
Because I think in that option you're still going to end up drinking a lot of sperm. No, it's... I'll try and find
you're
a nice
you're
one.
You're much more horrid than I remember you.
I'll ask a nice one. Have you ever flown a kite?
So now you've turned into Mary Poppins.
Down in Cornwall.
But you're just trying to be nice now, and you don't even really mean
official...
it. It's fake. That's a fake
that's
question.
That's one of my official... I can
is
find it?
It
in here, yeah. It's a good question.
Have you ever flown a kite?
Have you ever flown a kite?
I've never managed to get a kite off the ground and up, but I've taken over when it's in the air.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I know that's slightly girly, and
no,
I'm slightly ashamed of that, but I feel like I'm in the safe company and forgiven by others for not getting the kite off the ground.
Yeah.
But I could if I wanted to.
Yeah, no, it's difficult. I find it difficult.
Whereas some of the other questions, I couldn't if I wanted to. Even if I wanted to.
Then I just thought you lived down in Cornwall. There must be some good kite flying conditions down there.
Well, I live on a cliff in Cornwall, so you don't fly a kite on a cliff.
That's the ideal place to do them.
No, no, no. You need running space, don't you? And there's another thing I don't do. Honestly, wouldn't you love to run? If you didn't have bosoms, you could run. That's what I would. If I could be, this is a question.
Yeah.
You should ask emergency questions. What, you know, who would you like to be? What body would you like? If you just had 24 hours to be in a different body. Because
yeah.
I like my body. I don't really want to be in anybody else's body. But in order to run really fast... Like, just keep running, like, have long legs that just run like the wind and no bosoms flapping about that can injure you. I would love that. Who is that? Who is that? Whose body is that?
If I had 24 hours, I'd go for the bosoms.
Would you?
Yeah. I'd go for the flapping bosoms for 24 hours. Yeah, I'd love that.
They are a source of constant entertainment, I have to say.
Good.
It's amazing that I leave the house, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, I know. I'm very happy in my own company.
You should be. Have you ever been to the Shipwreck Museum in Cornwall? Where do we go? Where Poldark's filmed?
Charlestown?
Yeah.
Is there a Shipwreck Museum?
I
think there is.
There is.
I haven't been there. Is it good?
No, it's not very good, but I should give it... There's a lot of stuff in there.
Is there?
It's like a museum, because some of the exhibits are so old, it's like going to an old museum to see.
Okay.
So you can... That's quite good.
Been to a couple of very good museums like that in Cornwall. Well, there's a model village, which isn't really a model village, in Polperro, which is just in a bloke's backyard, and he's got some bricks and painted them, and he recreates the flood of 1950-something by throwing a bucket of water down on top. Paid £2.50 for that.
You get once you're down in Cornwall, though, there's not much you can do, is there? Like,
no,
so if you go to the tourist attraction, this is all we have.
I'm delighted to see that.
Yeah.
But there is a scary museum in Boscastle, which is the Witches Museum, if you've been there.
I haven't.
Where you go and think, that's funny, and you think, shit. You know, it really genuinely is shockingly frightening. There are poppets and things that have been made.
We have to go back. I love Cornwall, though. It's for me.
Yeah,
well, I love
the
West
best.
Country.
Of course you do,
because
you're from Cheddar.
Yeah, I mean, Cheddar's barely in the West Country, but it's... Compared to Cornwall, I mean, it's so far away, isn't it, Cornwall?
Cornwall is a long way away, thank God.
You've got to make an effort.
Yeah.
I have to do this. This is a thing I have to do. I'll ask you as a question, yeah.
Why are you saying
do you have an accountant at the moment who looks after your stuff?
Yes, I do, thank you.
Well, because I...
Are you offering me one?
No, I was going to say, if you didn't have one, I was going to recommend that you... You use the Harsh Singh, who's a sole practitioner, chartered accountant. offering accountancy, payroll and tax return completion service to small businesses.
So you are sponsored tonight, are you, by this person?
No, harsh thing.
Are they in this?
I don't know. I don't know they're here. I think he lives in Reading or somewhere like this.
Harsh
Swindon.
Sing.
Harsh Sing, yeah. His first name's Harsh, but, you know, don't be racist.
It'd be great to have a first name, Mr. Harsh.
Harsh, yeah. My company name is HF Sing and Co. Limited.
In Reading?
I can't remember where it is. Well, let's look it up. Because I've got the address
here. You never know.
HF Sing, yeah. Which is S-I-N-G-H. I've already visited there. And co.uk. I'm glad there isn't a camera on there that shows what the suggestions that come up are before
that. See this? I don't own one of these.
Do you not?
No, I know. I'm a bit of a... I know. Luddite.
It's really good. You can put podcasts and stuff
Well,
up
I
on
have
there.
Got an iPad, so have I can you? Go on the Goggle, but I don't... that's all I use it for.
You can ring him on +44... I don't give that.
Is there a picture of him?
There isn't. There's a picture of a nice lady there.
Oh, Harsh.
It looks to me like he set up his own website.
I'd like to get to know him, just so I can use his name.
He's used some stock footage. He's got some... Look at the pens those men are using. That's the kind of guy...
Yeah, they use pens. They've got nice suits.
There's some women laughing.
There's people.
I imagine if you go to Harsh Singh's office, it's just like this.
Yeah, they do graphs. Yeah. Look.
We're having fun looking at
them. Yeah, they know how to do a pound sign. They're qualified, obviously.
You can contact him. He's in Slough.
He's
near the hospital.
Near
the hospital.
Then. I can't.
Near the hospital.
I'm afraid. No.
He would like to use it. He might give you a discount.
Not Slough.
No.
Never.
He sounds good, though, doesn't he? He's amazing.
Yeah. How much is he giving you for that?
Not that much, really, given how much time we spend on it. But if you're in the Slough area and looking for a chartered accountant, you're a small business. I hope this works for me. Not that good an accountant if he thinks it's worth spending £200 on that, is it? That's.
So have you already had the £200?
Yeah.
All right, so you can say whatever you like about him. And does he know that you can say anything you like about
him? He does. I think he would like it.
Would he?
Yeah, I think that's the kind of guy Harsh is.
Okay.
I like Harsh. He's a memorable name, Harsh Singh. He emails me sometimes. Hi, Harsh. Hope I'm saying that right.
I had to meet his brother Soft.
So, is it true that you are going to take over the Bake Off with Jennifer?
No! As Jennifer said, bollocks. Bollocks. I think that's because they really... Well, a couple of things, of course. They wanted to create a little stir, didn't they, really? And I think it's because what other two girls are there working together? I think it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
They just thought, oh, the other two, then. The older two. Get them. Absolutely not. No.
I mean, it's a bit of a poison chalice to take that job
It'll probably work perfectly nicely for on the other channel. It'll be a different thing, but they don't have to get many viewers to be very pleased.
No.
So, you know, so it's all right.
Well, they've made lots of money.
It's all right. So Mary will get her own thing, and Mel and Sue will get their own things, and everybody will be happy.
Yeah.
So it's only about cakes. It's just a programme about cake.
Yeah. You probably get free cake, as many cakes as you
want. Yeah, but I can get that if I want. Well, maybe not free, but I'm happy to pay for cake. I don't want to be known as a cake freeloader ever.
No. Fair enough. I wouldn't mind. If you're watching, I'll do it. So I know a lot of people think, oh, whoever does that, Judas, I'll do it.
Yeah, no, what they'll
I
do.
Mean, I'll do it if you can get Stuart Lee to do it. I'll do it. I'll do it for free, just to look at his face.
Do you think that they think, oh, Richard Herring, he's a lovely man. Let's go and have a look at his podcast and see what sort of a bloke he is. And then they'll come across the centipede. Yeah. And that's you. That's you finished with the bake-off. You're done.
Luckily, I've created so much stuff on the internet that it's hard to find. The journalists would have to work very hard and work, you know, do some proper work, which they don't like to do.
They
have to listen to hours and hours of stuff to get, admittedly, the stuff that will mean I will never work on TV. I could become a politician. I could, you know, try and turn the political situation around. They go, oh, no.
No.
That thing
Look
I said.
The dirty things he says.
That might come up.
So, Stuart Lee.
Yeah.
Do you... This is all over, is it?
I think so.
Is there
hatred
in the room?
No.
No, I mean, just awkward. Is it awkward now? Not. Probably quite it's awkward not, now, what I'm not. Asking you.
No, he was a bit weird the last time I had him on here, but he's. But apart from
Did
that.
Did he come on?
He's come on here, yeah, we're still all right. We're okay. I mean, I'd never want to see him or speak to him again, but apart from. apart from that, we're really cool.
Okay. Do you have happy memories?
Yeah, well, sort of. It was so... I think we worked really hard, and we were right in each other's pockets all the time. So it was very difficult. And we were friends when we started, but then you're working with someone all the time, and we're quite different. So it flashed by so fast that I sort of I regret that we didn't sit back and enjoy it a bit more, you know, when it was happening. Because you sort of, when you're young, you think, oh, this is fine, this has happened, this and this.
But do you admire his brain and stuff?
Nah. I know, he's not clever at all.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I know him in real life. He just took all the things I said and then just made them longer. That's all he did. So that's...
So I think when you work in a double act, you have to do a massive amount of compromising. Yeah. And you also have to kind of take a measure of each other all the time. We kind of, without ever saying it, we decided never really to row very much.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just think, oh, I'm going to back off here. This matters enough to you. All right, we'll do it that way.
I think
she would do the same the other way.
You were young when you met each other. I think we were still going at each other over really insignificant stuff. And maybe it was working out of the sexual tensions he felt for me. He tried to masturbate me with a ventriloquist dummy.
Did he?
Yeah.
Strangely aroused.
I had the dummy on last week. You could have met him. But I think we really argued about things that there was no point in arguing about. And I think if we were to work together now, then you would just go, who cares?
Well, the boys at the comic strip threw beer at each other and stuff like that and had sort of weird manly rows that they... are they manly? What's manly about them? they would hold grudges for a long time and then they had a big pat on the back and a bit of a cry and then they'd get on with it.
Yeah.
And usually Jennifer and I would be the ones negotiating that because it's just too much tension otherwise.
Yeah. But I think it's interesting, all that stuff. But I think that's interesting. And there are definitely double acts that, I think Ant and Dec. They seem to be genuinely friends.
Yes, they live next door to each other, don't they? We've decided. Yeah. I don't even know that as fact, but I've decided it. Yeah.
So, there are people who generally love each other and want to spend it. I just think it's very difficult if you want to... you've got together for a different reason in a way. You've got together to work and then it becomes a job.
Yeah. The way I know that I love Jen so much is because I don't get to see enough of her.
Right.
And in fact, I saw her this week, and because I've had this horrible cold, I said to her, we were going to go out and grab a bit of supper together, and I said, I just feel rubbish. She said, I'll bring a takeaway round to you. And so she came round to my flat, and we literally tucked our feet up, ate rice takeaway, and watched Bake Off, ironically.
Yeah.
Yeah, shouting at everyone on
there. I reckon if you went and wrote to them and said, can we do it, they'd say, yeah.
Never going to happen. Never going to happen.
And you've been... there's lots of... there's so much to talk to you about.
Yeah.
You've done... I don't know why I wasted my time with all that human centipede stuff. Now I look back on it...
Yeah, you're ashamed of yourself
It seemed almost gratuitous.
You feel like a lesser man.
No, I feel better. you've done opera and Shakespeare.
Yeah, I have, yeah. Well, I haven't... when you say you've done opera, that sounds like I've sung an opera. And I have to say, for one tiny little nanosecond, when the offer of the opera came through, it was a Donizetti opera, at the Royal Opera House.
Yeah.
And they asked me if I would play, Le Marquise de Krakenthorpe in it. I thought, woo-hoo, this sounds great. And there was just a little deluded moment when I thought, yeah, they've realised that I am a great singer. How do they know? Are they in my bathroom? Because that's when I'm really great.
Yeah.
I'm in my car.
Yeah.
And then I realised, no, it's the comedy talking part. And then I had a bit of a wake-up call because it's in French, obviously. And I thought, I did A-level French. I can manage a bit of French. And it was a French director, and I went along and started doing the French. I'd learned it off by heart, and they just started laughing a lot at the French. And they called it franglais.
Oh.
They said I was speaking hilarious franglais. So then I had to pretend that was my intent all along, to sound not very French at all. Just dying inside, thinking that was my best French. Obviously, no good. It's ironic when you think of my name.
It is. It must have been. Yeah, some ancestor couldn't do it either, and someone thought, "Yeah, let's call him." It's like Little John, hilarious, old school.
Yeah.
Hilarious names.
Yes.
And so you're in Midsummer Night's Dream.
I was.
You were bottom.
I was bottom in that, which is great. Gave my bottom on the West End stage.
If you had
Love
to sew
that.
Your bottom to the mouth.
No. Sorry, stop it.
The character.
You're a dirty, horrid boy. And I like it.
So
that was good fun.
Yeah, we
had a good hoot doing that. And we did it for, I don't know, we did it for 3 months or something. It was weird being a girl doing bottom because she has to fall in love with actress. Yes, Titania, but the lovely actress who played it. Redgrave. No, daughter, not daughter of Vanessa, daughter of Corin.
Gemma.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Please don't tell her I had to think.
She listens
that.
To this. That's the problem.
It was weird because we had sort of not sex scenes exactly, but fancying scenes.
Yeah.
But she was, you know, she was full of potion, wasn't she, in her eyes? And so it was good fun. I like that a lot.
Do you find? I mean, with a play, I just sort of think: does it just get boring, or is it still all right?
I like it. I like doing the same thing every night. I quite like it because I think you can get better at it all the time. You can hone it. Jennifer hates it.
Right.
We did one play together, and the shock on her face when she had to return the next night and do it again. And we did it for 4 months.
Right.
And she was in hell. She just hated it. And whereas I really loved it, but I had to spend all the time cheering her up and persuading her that we'd do something a little bit different the next night. And I had to do things like, we had a kissing scene in it, actually. Two women who get a bit drunk and say, oh, if only I could fall in love with you, everything would be all right. We get rid of this guy. And so I would start passing messages to her in the kiss, little things that she could, ping pong balls, anything she dared to pass in my mouth that I could put in my mouth just before the kiss and get into her mouth and nobody would see it in the audience. It's very unprofessional, isn't it? Very unprofessional. But I do things like that just to keep her interest. Yeah. But she's never done a play since.
No.
It was so terrible for her that she just didn't do one.
I think I just find if you're doing someone else's thing, you can't mess around. You mess around a bit, but you can't really mess around.
Yeah,
that
no,
much.
You can't.
But there's another
thing going on, which is that you get it better and better and better and better. Yeah. And actually, by the end of the run, you think, oh, we're doing it so much better than at the beginning.
Sure. Yeah, I went to see Groundhog Day, the musical, which is very good.
Is it?
Yeah, but I just thought, for those people in that play, it's the kind of worst, isn't it? It's a terrible play to me. But I would imagine that would drive some actors insane, because it's like literally you're going into work and...
Well, there are people in The Mousetrap who, you know, played the ingenue once upon a time and are now playing the old dead person. Yeah. As they've been doing it for 30 years, imagine that. You wouldn't know it. Because there is a total fear that goes with not knowing a play.
Yeah.
And I still have those dreams. Do you ever have those dreams
time,
of not learning something? Have you done many plays?
I did not for a long time. I did lots at university and in bits and pieces. But I always have dreams about not learning lines. I had a dream that Paul McCartney was on this podcast and I hadn't done any research into him. And I was thinking, oh, what's he done? And I was thinking, I remembered some quite good stuff about him. He's quite famous. But I was feeling really bad that I hadn't researched him. And I have researched you. It is if I've done no research.
You would have to say to Paul McCartney, welcome to Richard Herring Unprepared. You'd have to call it something like that, unresearched.
It sort of be embarrassing not to know everything about Paul McCartney. I asked him if... in my dream, do you want to know my dream? I asked him whether he had been replaced by a lookalike in 1963 after he'd had a car crash, and he said he couldn't remember, he'd have to read his autobiography.
Did he?
Yeah. Well, he didn't,
nice
because
dreams.
It's inside my brain. Unless he was dreaming and we just collided at the same time.
Yeah.
He was dreaming about
being
on the podcast, go, when will Rich ask me to be on? Is that everyone? When will it be me? Let's not talk about my dreams where we have Dwarf French here. Unless they involve Dwarf French, which...
Unless we've all collided in a big centipede-y kind of way.
Yeah. It's a bit like doing a dream sometimes, this podcast. We think, oh, did I really say that? Dawn French can't have been here. Are you doing any more? Roger and Val have just got in.
No, sadly not. I love that. I loved it. And the women who write it Beth and Emma Kilcoyne, twin girls from Sunderland. They're such clever people. But they are currently writing my first novel for telly.
Oh, right.
So I won't let go of them because the writing is so good.
Yeah, yeah.
I loved making that show with Fred Molina. Something really weird happens with Fred Molina, by the way, when I'm just thinking about it.
Oh, yeah.
Fred Molina is a proper actor.
Yes, he is.
Where an extra thing happens, which is that when you're acting with him and you're in the room and you see his face up close, you think then, oh, that's pretty impressive. But when you look at the edit, even more things are happening right. than you saw with your own actual eyes.
Right.
How mad is that? That it must be like some it's the X factor, isn't it? It's the other thing.
Yeah.
I haven't got that. Well, what you see is what you get. What's happening in the room is what you get and nothing extra.
You look at you and you're going, why is that woman looking at his face so much and being impressed? What's going on with that?
But he is an extraordinary actor.
Yeah.
And I loved making that and it was so touching.
Yeah.
You know, to have a piece which is sort of on so many layers, if you like, and about loss, really, about loss. And people coping with it, and a couple that really love each other and are just trying to get through.
Yeah.
But because the end of the second series, it's not really a spoiler, as it was years ago now, you know, a child comes into that house, and so they suddenly have everything they wanted. So it's, you know. Yeah. It was the right ending. There's nothing further to say.
No, good. Is the book The According to Yes? Is that the one?
No. It's the first novel I wrote, which is called A Tiny Bit Marvellous.
Oh, yes.
And there's a family in there, and the Kilcoyne sisters are writing that for telly.
And you're going to be in that as well?
No, I'm too old to be the mum in that. You know, I especially write characters that... that I can't play. I don't write books so that I can be in them. You know, I have a thought, think about it, but I, you know, I'm too old to play that.
So, According to Yes, is about a nanny.
It's about a nanny.
And is this based on your...
That's the latest novel.
Yeah.
I was a nanny in... Well, I wasn't really a nanny. That's wrong to say that. I was lucky enough to win a scholarship to go and study in New York for a year when I left school. This is with the English Speaking Union, who hosted all this debating society and stuff. And my drama teacher, the one I had such a huge crush on, encouraged me to do this debating at school. And Michael Foote, who was our local politician in Plymouth, who played number 99 for Plymouth Argyle. Who are we? Green Army. And Michael Foote was there on this particular night. Anyway, I managed to win a place on this scholarship, and only 15 kids went from this country to America, and 15 kids from America came to this country. And it wasn't a direct swap, but various schools had agreed to have these kids. And they asked you on the questionnaire, you know, where you wanted to live in America. And I'd only lived in, well, I'd lived around the country with my dad and stuff, but I hadn't lived in London, I hadn't lived in big cities or anything. Yeah. And so I wanted to ride horses, of course, so I put Oklahoma, Kansas. I wanted to go to big, wide-open plains, or where I thought you'd ride horses with big saddles and stuff like that. Every other kid put New York. Every other kid put New York as their number one choice, and they perversely gave me New York.
Right.
And so I was furious that I was going to New York, but of course, New York.
Yeah, yeah.
So I landed in New York at age 18.
Right.
And I remember being on the plane and thinking, nobody knows me there. So I'm going to pretend to be like really confident British girl. I'm going to be in control of everything. Let's see if I can convince people that this is who I am. And it was a very weird thing that worked out for me, that they believed it. And then my own courage kind of caught up with that confidence a bit. It was very weird. Anyway, I lived with a family there, and I went to school in New York. And but I had no money. I ran out of money very quickly, mainly because I was eating pizza. You know, they have pizza shops. You can buy a slice.
Yes, yeah.
On every corner. So I bought a slice on every corner. And I just got fatter and fatter and fatter. But I was so happy. I could not have been happier. Dripping cheese. It was just, bloody lovely. But I ran out of money. I think I took something like 300 quid, which I'd earned as a chambermaid in working in Devon in Salcombe. Yeah. And my dad had given me a bit of money. But it ran out very quickly. So I was going to have to come home because I had no money. And I thought, this can't happen. I've got to get a job. And my mates, who I was at school with, said, you should do a bit of babysitting, and they pay very well, and they'll pay you very well because you're British. So I got a job. I mean, I'd never looked after anybody's kids whatsoever, but somehow they just assumed I was Mary Poppins or something. And I got a job where, you know, they give you the keys to their flat and the charge of their child, you know. And quite a lot of money an hour to be a babysitter. So there was one particular guy who... I better not name his son, but anyway, he was something something the third, his son. It was that kind of family.
Donald Trump.
Yeah. And he but was it was that kind of money, weirdly. Yeah. And he was getting divorced from his wife, and so he had his son every other week. And my job was to pick this little boy up from school, take him home, feed him, wait till his dad got home, which was normally quite late, a little bit drunk. Telling me all about how much he missed his wife and whatever. You know, it was very weird, all at age 18. And I felt very sorry for this little chap. So that was kind of the seam that I mined for according to Yes, yeah. Really.
Cool. And so is the novel writing something you would...
I love it.
Yeah.
I really love it, partly because I want to live in Cornwall. I want to be there with my husband and my kids down there. And I just found out that I'd collaborated about everything I'd ever done in my life. And, you know, I collaborated at the comic strip and at Girls on Top and Jennifer and, you know, a business that I have for clothes. I collaborated with another woman and everything I'd ever done was that.
Yeah.
And I thought, when I wrote that autobiography that you're talking about, I realised that I could visit my own head and be in control of every single word without any compromise whatsoever. And I really like that. I think I'm a shocking control freak. That's what, and I didn't know that about myself until I sat and did some writing.
Sure.
So then I wanted to do more and more and more of it.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, so you're incredibly good. Well, you're just good at everything. It's insane. And and you're the nice. I kind of wanted to get to find the nasty you inside, and there doesn't seem to be.
I can be less than fragrant at times.
But like you are, you know, you're really loved by everyone. It must be a weird.
It's because I've played a vicar. I think that's why.
Maybe, but I think even without that, I think it's just you must have a lovely life where everyone just loves you everywhere you
go. Well, but very few people are horrid to me. That's true. And I joined twatting with the twits in November. I've managed to kind of catch up with that. That's about the extent of my IT skills. Yeah. And I know other people said to me, oh, you'll read lots of horrible things. You've got need to be to... But I don't. And I don't know what that is. Maybe somebody is getting rid of all that for me. That doesn't seem to come at me.
Right.
But I don't know why particularly, but it's normally quite pleasant on there.
Well, it's sort of weird with Twitter because it started off being a very pleasant place to be, and then it's...
Oh, maybe I haven't got to the horror bit yet.
Well, I know, but I just think whoever you are, there's people there are. That's the one place in the world I think you might even get.
Yeah. Well, bring it on. I'm ready for it.
Well, it's kind
of
fun.
I'm a fighter.
Yeah.
I'm not scared.
No.
And I will go in low and hard. I've got a brother. I've learned how to wrestle, and I will bite.
Yeah.
I'm not scared to bite. I'll bite you, actually, and I wouldn't be afraid to. But I would bite you sort of somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And it hurts. I'm telling you now, it hurts. And I don't release. I'm like a little terrier. There you are. You found the dark underbelly of me. I'm quite violent.
So it's been all right. It's turned out all right for you, hasn't it? Life's been all right.
Yeah. Oh, it's been great. I tell you, I haven't finished yet.
No.
If that's all right with you, I've still got a few more chapters.
It's 2016, so I just thought, in case.
Okay, fine. Thus far,
once you're through 2016,
it's pretty good. Yeah. And it changes, you know. Everything changes along the way. I never thought I'd be remarried and have two extra kids and weird stuff like that. If you'd asked me that 15 years ago, I would never have known that would happen. But it does happen, you know. You have to be optimistic.
Do you get free chocolate oranges?
Well, I do get given them. You gave me one earlier today because people do leave them for me. People leave them for me in hotels. They leave them on the pillow. Chambermaids leave them for me sometimes. Am I upset about that? No, I am not. I would have happily done that advert, just be paid in chocolate oranges. Yeah, they should have me back on that advert, don't you think? I really admired the fact that they had a fat woman advertising chocolate. I thought that was honest and good.
Yeah.
They haven't done that since.
No, it's
shame.
True.
It's a shame.
It is shame.
Yeah, it's wrong.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. ran out of stuff to say.
Okay.
So no, I haven't. But I think we should let you. You know, thanks so much for doing this. I know you're not very well.
And yeah. Well, I've just got a bit of a weird. You had a cold, didn't you?
I did. Well, like, you know, you catch up. It's a sexually transmitted diseases. You catch off your children.
You know. Hang on. Do we have the police ready? What do you what do you say?
You know, they're sexually transmitted diseases because you have to have sex to have the child, and then the child gives you loads of diseases.
Oh, cleverly whittled away then. Yeah, I'd have marched you myself to the police station then.
So yeah, I've been ill quite a lot.
What diseases have you had?
Just like horrible colds, and
yeah, okay.
I was sick the other week, but I think that was my fault.
Yeah,
I don't think
yeah.
I can blame the child for that one. Yeah. So
never eat a child sick. Don't do that.
No, don't do that.
Don't do that, no. Richard, if you're thinking about
okay,
it.
I won't.
No, good.
No.
There's love of your child, and then it's just a stage too far.
Yeah, it's nice. thank you so much for coming on my podcast.
Oh,
I've wanted
God,
to have you on
been
for ages.
Really great.
And I'm disappointed you haven't cried. And
yeah.
I'm disappointed.
Do you want me to fake
I've
it?
Nearly cried a couple of times, and that would have been even worse if you'd made me cry. That would have been. Kirsty Walk would have been on the phone.
If I'd known that was the intent, I'd have come out here especially to make you cry. I could still make you cry, but there'd be tears of pain.
Yeah. Thank you.
Do you want me to lunge at you and hurt you? Do you want me to bite your thigh?
I was quite interested in that. When I met you at a party in the BBC, I was with my friend and you gave a quite expensive thing of makeup, so I'd like to thank you for that. She was very pleased.
Oh, okay.
So
good.
Thank you for that. You're very nice.
Oh, yeah, well, of course.
Yeah.
I've got two of them. You can have one. I've got two kids. Do you want one of those?
Well, yeah, okay.
No, I don't think they're safe in your house. I'm scared now. What with the diseases and everything.
Yeah. It's nice.
I've got great big adults, you know, not little kids. Shocking.
Yeah.
And I've got a son.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
I know.
Like a big fully cooked one. that didn't even have to raise until the last 5 or 6 years. Bloody gorgeous to have a son.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, although he did pick me up recently and break my ribs.
Really?
Yeah.
Like literally broke them?
Well, fractured them. Wow. I'd say break just to get more sympathy.
Yeah. But that's nasty. I've had that. Tim Key made me jump onto a stool and then moved the stool and it hit me in the chest and I fractured one of my ribs.
Did you? How old were you then?
28 years. No, I was about 39.
Yeah. No, he picked me up on a beach because I was taking too long to get in the water and I just felt that pop, 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 like that. And I thought, ooh, ah. But I really didn't want him to feel bad, so I went in for a swim, nevertheless. And I was trying to swim near my husband going, punctured lung, like that. But I don't want to upset him. But anyway, I went to the doctor the next day. I had to get all strapped up.
Yeah. It's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah, but I've tortured him about it ever since, so it's fine. Fine.
Well, thank you so much for coming.
No, I'm not going.
Okay, we can stay. you can stay as long as you like. You
no,
can't
yeah.
I can ask you more emergency questions.
No, don't, because they're disgusting.
I can find a nice one.
There isn't a nice one, and you know it.
How about, have you ever tried sushi?
Yeah, but it's not my thing.
No.
It really isn't, is
it's weird, isn't it? It's a
Come
weird
on.
Thing.
Is it?
Yeah. How about this? This is a good question. Have you ever seen a ghost? You're from Cornwall. Yeah, there must be ghosts.
I haven't seen a ghost.
Right.
But Jennifer has.
Mm.
We moved into a house, right, when we were students. And it was in Hampstead, near where Central School of Screech and Trauma is that we went to. And she was in a room, and somebody used to come and sit on the end of her bed, and she'd tell me about it. She says, bloke keeps coming and sitting. Oh, no, is it a woman? I think it was a woman. Comes and keeps sitting on the end of my bed. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Yeah, less of the weed, Jennifer. And she never smoked dope, by the way. She never smoked dope. Never. And anyway, she at one point we had to bring in, like, show and tell pictures of our family and stuff. So her mum looked out some pictures. And lo and behold, there's her grandmother outside that very house. Her grandmother had lived in the very house we lived in as students.
And then
what do you think about that?
Spooky. It's quite an amazing coincidence, even on its own, even without the sitting on the bed.
Yeah, but
But if you died, sadly, in 100 years' time,
yeah,
would you come back and sit on your grandchild's bed?
No, I wouldn't. No, well, it depends. I'd love to see. If they need a bit of controlling, yes, I would. Yes. Actually, I would quite like to frighten people.
Yeah, would you?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I would. But only, like, fleetingly. Just fleetingly.
Yeah.
Like, did I see her? Didn't I?
Well, that's what they do, isn't it, the ghosts? They keep it on the down low.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
No, they don't exist. So,
have you ever felt that you're not alone in a big old spooky house?
I don't tend not to go into big spooky houses on my own.
I stayed in one on the moor once when we were doing Jam in Jerusalem, and I was supposed to be writing during the day. So instead of staying at the pub with everyone else, I booked this house on my own.
Right.
And it had big, thick walls like that. And honestly, I was not alone in that house. So I started to... Ooh, a bit mad. I started to speak out to them. And I would come in the door and go, okay, it's your house. It's your house. I'm not staying very long. Just please don't let me see you. I don't want to see you at all. But I genuinely felt that other things were there.
Yeah, but they didn't.
They never turned out because they don't exist. All right.
Have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
I've seen a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was
married to Lenny Henry, you know. So I've seen a Bigfoot. Yeah.
I'm going to let you go. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Todd Rich, ladies and gentlemen. I've been listening to Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Rich Herring, and my guest, Dawn French. What? The music is my best. Yeah, I would like to thank the following people: Go Faster Strike, the Leicester Square Theatre, and all the staff here who are lovely, the British Comedy Guide, and iTunes, and all the other platforms upon which this podcast appears. I'd like to thank you for listening. My producer is Ben Walker. This is a Fuzz Sky Potato and Go Faster Strike production for the internet. Thanks for listening. If you like these, why not come and see one at the Leicester Square Theatre? There's loads from June onwards. Also, we're doing As It Occurs to Me at the Leicester Square Theatre. Go to leicestersquaretheatre.com to buy tickets to come and see this show live. It's even better. Or As It Occurs to Me live, where it's even better. Thank you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Thanks very much for listening to the podcast. Go to GoFasterStripe.com for fantastic downloads and books and to join the Go Faster Stripe Club and get loads of stuff from really interesting comedians. Help little Chris Evans knock that one out. That would be lovely. All right, RichardHerring.com for all my gigs. Hope to see you at a gig. Come and say hi after if you've enjoyed these podcasts. Don't come if you haven't enjoyed them and say you haven't enjoyed them. It will make me feel sad.